It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Round one done. Six rounds to go in the NFL draft. The NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs rolling right along. Major League Baseball. The Showboat's back in action at home this weekend. Lots going on in the world of sports. And we are here. We are, in fact, paid to talk about it. And we love doing it. We'll do it over the course of the next 3 hours. We welcome you in to Sports 56 Mornings on this Friday, April 26th, 2024. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd, and a cast of thousands here at the Family Leisure Studios. It's very crowded in here. Family Leisure, it's where family and fun come together. Factory direct pricing on swimming pool, spas, patio furniture. Those deals continue. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. And the first hour of the program is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Weather-wise, we're looking at 59 degrees currently, but a high today of 84. Mixture of clouds and sun. Then tonight, for your Friday evening, Memphis Tigers baseball back at home Friday night, tonight, and throughout the weekend playing nationally ranked East Carolina. If you want to go over to the ballpark, looking at 68 degrees, cloudy skies, a very minimal chance of rain, so looks like the rain's out of the area for the time being. I think it rolls back in on Monday. And your weekend, 86 for a high on Saturday with some sun and some clouds. Sunday, 86 as well. Coming up on the program today, obviously we'll talk a lot about the NFL draft with the first round having come and gone. Some surprises, a lot of things held true to form. Got rounds 2 and 3 tonight, and then rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. John Varlas, as he does every Friday, from the Daily Memphian, will join us at approximately 7:25. We have plenty of time today to take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. We'll give you the latest as far as portal news is concerned, Memphis recruiting news, some news involving Ja Morant, and of course, plenty of NBA playoff action, 3 games last night that we'll dive into today. We also have 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation, give you a chance to win a great prize package that'll come your way at approximately 9:30. So that's your lineup for today's program. How are you?
I am very good. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Zach, I'll ask you this as well. Pretend you're a draft prospect. You're about to be, you know you're going to be drafted.
Am I in the green room?
No. You're at home. You're having a party at your house.
Okay.
What is going to be the dress code for your party?
For me, just casual. I'm not getting dressed up. I mean, I'm the prospect, so I'll look presentable, but for my guests, whatever the hell you want to wear. I really don't care. As long as you got clothes on.
Zach?
I don't know. I might go with a theme. So I might say business casual, you know? You know, just get everybody not all the way dressed up, but hey, we about to be live on TV. Like, we might need to look presentable, you know?
Okay. Because there was some last night that, like, the people were, like, all in suits. And I'm like, dude, I'm coming to your draft party. Don't make me wear a suit. Why do I have to dress up for your draft party? Like, I don't mind the ones that have like they hand out like t-shirts with like their face on it or something like that. Like, that's cool. But I don't want to come to your draft party wearing a suit. That makes no sense to me why everybody at a draft party has to be in suits.
Well, you should be comfortable. I understand Zach's theme, which goes to what you just talked about with everybody wearing matching shirts with the face of the player. That's fine too. As long as you're not walking around with a Beavis and Butthead shirt, I mean, just something presentable, that is
fine. Why are you hating on Beavis and Butthead?
Well, you know, it's just that Saturday Night Live skit still in my mind from last weekend. But just wear something that's presentable. Don't be walking around in Daisy Dukes and things like that, but also you don't need to be wearing a suit. Be comfortable.
I don't understand. I honestly don't understand. We're talking about this. I don't get why all of the people in the war room, like the why they're all in suits.
Well, that was the Eagles. And I don't know.
That's every team. Every team, no, everybody team. In the war room had suits on.
Oh, did they really?
It's like literally every team. Yeah. I'm like, dude, like most of those people in there never wear suits. Like they're scouts and like the head coach. And, like these people don't wear suits. Like they're, I don't know why I'd, like we have to be all, to me, wear team gear. I would say like, hey, everybody just wear some team gear, get everybody the same team gear. But I'd be like, what? If I'm a scout, I'm like, why the hell do I got to wear a suit all of a sudden?
To be fair to me, and I'm not going to go into this on public radio, but I told you why I wasn't able to watch as much as the draft as I normally would. So I didn't see all of that. So I didn't know that that was a recurring theme around the NFL. I did see the Eagles. I just happened to be able to watch, and the Eagles picked, and they went to the war room, and they all had almost like identical suits on. It was either the charcoal color, the gray, or the dark blue, which I think a couple had, and then mostly white shirts with the one guy who was it that called him out? Maybe it was it. Was it McAfee? I don't know. I'm flipping around, but they called the one guy had a like a checkered shirt on, but everybody else was it's basically the same suit. And I'm like, is that a mandate? So I didn't know all the other teams were doing that as well. But I don't know. You're in the war room. I can understand that. I can understand being dressed to the T's in a suit.
Why?
Because it's a professional organization. You are working. They probably wear suits all the time, so it's work attire.
Most of those people don't wear suits. They don't wear suits when they work.
I don't know.
The head coach doesn't wear a suit when he works.
Well, in public—
Those scouts certainly don't wear suits when they work.
In public appearances, they do, other than if they're covering a game. I mean, I'm sure if they're at some kind of corporate thing or they're doing some function in the city, that they're all wearing suits every time they go out. They're not wearing jeans, I'm sure, when they go out there and speak for the Cancer Society or whatever. So, I mean, they normally would wear a suit in that situation. If they're just in the office, in their little office, in their little cubbyhole, then they probably don't. But the point is that your question was about parties at home. If you're a candidate for being drafted, I'm telling everybody to come, be comfortable, you know, don't wear something stupid, just be presentable and have fun. Enjoy the night. But some take it to different levels. Others are a little bit more casual. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat. Now, the one thing, again, I didn't get to see all of it as I normally do. But when I watched, there were so many interesting stories about these draft picks. And I read some of this as well. That it seems like these are a bunch of, this first round, a bunch of good dudes. Just like a lot of good dudes. Not only great football players, but guys that using their NIL money to help families that are not as fortunate, you know, to give them money for groceries or to raise money for a particular cause or to help an old lady across the street. It's just like one after another. So hats off to the class of 2024 and the great backstories, the background stories that go beyond just playing the game of football.
Yeah, I did. I assume you must have been watching the ABC broadcast.
I did.
Okay.
For the most part.
So I did see those because I watched ESPN. But
I flipped to the McAfee thing because I wanted to see Belichick. And there's like an illusionist on. There was an illusionist. Like, what is going on here? And Belichick's over on the side, and he's just looking at his phone. I'm like, hey, that's weird. And I love McAfee. But with once Nick Saban joined ESPN, and he was going to be a part of the ABC coverage, I went with ABC. I remember I got burned last year that I forgot it was on two different ones, and I had a choice. But, yeah, with Herb Street and with Desmond Howard – and Reese Davis and Nick Saban and Laura Rutledge. That was my go-to. Why did you prefer the ABC one? I mean, the ESPN one.
It was just what was on. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't. I mean, the backstories are great, but I know that's what ABC focuses more on. I just wanted to see the picks and
gotcha.
The analysis. And I still don't understand. I don't understand the deal with the trades last night.
What's the deal with the trades?
Like, they had, because the NFL, at least, this is what the NBA needs to learn from the NFL. The NFL gets it right. Like, when there's a trade, Goodell goes up there and announces that there was a trade. It tells you who's actually making the pick, mm-hmm. which is great. And so you don't have to, like, the guy doesn't come up there and put on a hat of a team that everybody knows he's not going to ever play for. And so they do that, and that's great. But last night, for whatever reason, like, in years past, they always told you what the trade was. Like, on the broadcast, they would then go, like, here's what the trade was. They weren't telling us what the trades were last night.
Yeah, I didn't.
They were like, they would like, yeah, that was the trade. And then you're like, okay, like, what did they give up? Like, what's the trade? And they never would
really
tell us what the trade was. I guess you had to, like, go to Twitter to find these people. But, like, I kept waiting, like, okay, but who did they give up? And, or what picks did they give up to move up and all this stuff? And they would never show that stuff on the broadcast. I always felt like in years past, it was like, as soon as he would announce the trade and that there was a trade, announce the pick, it would almost be immediately that they would put up the graphic, here's what the trade was. And they weren't doing that last night.
My wife asked me, she said, how do they know what team they're being drafted by when they have the hat right there at the house? And I said, well, I'm sure they have the hat of every team. And when they get the phone call, the first thing they probably do is say, you know, the kid getting picked says to his fan, Rams. And then we sit down, you see it on television.
Got to have a hat guy.
The hat guy.
At your party.
Sometimes the hat guy's the father. Sometimes it's somebody else. But they hand it right to the draftee, and he puts the hat on. But yeah, it's not a, they don't know ahead of time. When they get that phone call is when they find out. And like I said, it's, yeah, the NFL will not go bankrupt by providing hats for everybody.
No, they'll be all right. It just amazes me how many people go to the draft now. Like, there's nothing, like, I have no desire to attend a draft.
When I saw the shots from the drone of the dudes, like, in the middle, meaning if you got to go to the bathroom, you are in trouble because there's, like, 8,000 people to your right, to your left, in front of you, and behind you. You are stuck. They said there was 150,000 in that area. It was called Cadillac Square. And they had to close the gates around.
Called it Cadillac Ranch.
It would have been a better name, right? They had to close the gates around it because they could not allow any more people in there.
Like, it's just, it's nuts to me that many people, well, it's wherever they go now, like the amount of people that just show up. And I'm like, I just don't, what's the purpose of standing there?
Just to say you were a part of it.
Listening them announce people.
Yeah, you were just a part, but I'm sure they have music and food and all these other things that coincide with it. When, do you remember when the first big draft was, once they moved it out of Radio City Music Hall, which was the first city that they started this? Obviously, Nashville's had it, which was huge.
I don't remember what.
Kansas City.
I don't know what was. Nashville was one of the first, but I don't know.
It wasn't the first, though.
I don't know for sure where the first was.
Philly, maybe? I might be getting these mixed up. Maybe Philly didn't even have it, but I thought that they did. But anyway, it's become a big event, and if you're in that city or that area, you just want to be a part of it. Like, I don't understand being at the Macy's Day Parade, but people love to go to the Macy's Day Parade. I'd rather, if I want to watch it, I'll watch it on television. But 150,000, and then, of course, the start of the program was pretty cool with the current Lions stars and some stars from the past like Megatron and Barry Sanders, and then Eminem walking out with Roger Goodell. That was great. And Roger Goodell, even with Eminem there, as beloved as he is, especially in the Motor City, the cascade of boos, which is a tradition like none other.
Yeah, I love the way he plays into it. I think that's just, I give Goodell credit for, like, he plays into the booze, and it's fun just to see them.
Yeah, but the one time he said, come on. In other words, be quiet. Let me talk here. But yeah, he's showing more personality in the last couple of years. The spots he did with Eminem shows a little bit more that he's human and not robotic. But as far as the draft is concerned, 1, 2, 3, 4 went according to plan. Now, we thought maybe New England at 3 could throw a little curve. They did not. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. There was a little question on whether or not it would be Daniels or May for Washington at 2. Ends up being Daniels, and then May, and then Marvin Harrison Jr., Arizona. Although some people thought that, and still do, that perhaps Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver. But I thought Marvin Harrison would go to Arizona, and he did. Then the Chargers at 5, Eli, and the Jim Harbaugh era begins. And we were talking with Ian Valentino yesterday, and he talked about the Chargers and the Titans and other teams needing offensive linemen, and that it would be in the DNA of Harbaugh to take a lineman. And some thought maybe they would trade down and accumulate other assets and still pick a lineman. Nope, they went right with Joe Alt, the monster, the mountain man for Notre Dame. The dude's 6'9", and they took him number 5. So, again, still on track, according to plans. Malik Nabers goes to the Giants 6th, although I know Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN had a lot of problems with that. He thought they should have went quarterback there with all the injuries that Daniel Jones has sustained. Daniel Jones. Yeah. 7 was J.C. Latham. Again, we talked about this yesterday. If the Titans weren't going to get Joe Alt, they would get Latham, one or the other. And that's exactly what they did. Then came Atlanta. And what did I say on the show? That I've been hearing that they could take Michael Penix Jr., even though they signed Kirk Cousins as a free agent. And they took him. And so that's when everybody lost their mind.
Yeah, and rightfully so. That's when Atlanta lost their mind. Chicago was the first, by the way, after they moved it. Chicago got it in 2015 and 16.
They had it for 2 straight years?
Yep. And then Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
Dallas, Nashville.
Kansas City? No?
Then it went to Cleveland. Was supposed to go to Las Vegas. That was 2020, so they couldn't do it.
What'd you say, Zach?
No, it was Cleveland, because 2020 was COVID when they did it at the house.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland was following, and then it was Vegas.
Yeah, that Vegas came back in the rotation.
So Kansas City hasn't done it.
Kansas City did it last year.
Oh, they did. Okay, all right. My memory. Yeah, I thought Kansas City had done it. I thought Philly had done it. Forgot about Cleveland. Every city's nailed it. I mean, they've done a great, great job. Great job with that. But back to your thoughts about Atlanta.
Well, it makes no sense to me why you're drafting a quarterback number 8 overall when you just signed a quarterback for $100 million. And the explanation from Raheem Morris saying that we are poised to win right now, so we wouldn't get an opportunity to draft the quarterback of the future this high in the draft again.
That's being pretty cocky, confident, isn't it?
Well, it also makes no sense. If you're poised to win right now, I think you would want to draft a guy who you know would have a chance to help you, you know, like win right now.
Well, it sounds like he thinks they have all the ingredients to win right now without having to take anybody in the top 10. So they're going to go ahead. We're set. We're going to win a couple of Super Bowls now, and then we got our future quarterback. You're right. It doesn't make sense, but I knew that there was a great chance that that could happen, and those odds that you probably could have gotten on any book on that was pretty substantial.
And like, if they would have came out and said, like, well, just with the Kirk Cousins coming off the injury, things like that, like, we're concerned, something like that. But saying you're poised to win right now. So you're drafting a 24-year-old quarterback who you don't expect at all to play the first 2 years. So by the time you get him in your lineup, he's going to be 26 years old.
Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
And I love Michael Penix Jr., but in this scenario, it's weird because you're right. He's not going to play right away. He'll be 26. Who knows? I mean, wasn't it a 4-year deal that Cousins signed?
It's 3 years.
Okay. He's coming
but
off.
He's locked, and I mean, they could get out of the third year, but they're like the first 2 years, like they're pretty much locked into him because of the money that's involved in the first 2 years.
Yeah, not to mention Penix Jr. is coming off several injuries in his career. I still love the guy. I think he's NFL ready, but he's going to sit on the pine unless, of course, something happens to Cousins. So it was a shocker. But again, that's what I heard. There were rumblings about that. As far as the reaction from Kirk Cousins, it goes without saying he's pretty puzzled as well. At number nine, Rome Odunze for Chicago. That's the one that was penciled in if he was available. And so the Bears get Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. Pretty darn good. I don't care what happens the rest of the draft. Pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams has no excuses now. Like, you got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. Like, you can't – they've gotten him weapons, and we'll see what that does for their offense. I like Odunze a lot. We shall see about Caleb Williams.
And then Minnesota moves in the 10th spot, and they take J.J. McCarthy. So McCarthy will go from Michigan to Minnesota. Then he becomes the fifth quarterback taken a little bit later on. The Broncos get Bo Nix, so six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 picks. We got lots more notes on the first round of the NFL draft. We'll get you set for rounds 2 and 3 tonight, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. We'll do that during the course of this program. We'll take your calls and texts on the draft and on other sports happenings a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. John Varlas, our Friday regular, will join us in studio. Well, folks, you want to get charged up? They were getting charged up last night in Detroit. Come on out to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch and get charged up. Test drive one of the new EV Blazers. It's still Chevy truck season. If you're ready for a new Silverado, all the Silverados have financing down to 2.9% for 72 months. You get thousands back in cash and trade. New Equinox and Trailblazers, 1.9% financing. No payments for 90 days. You want pre-owned? They have just about everything you're going to be looking for. And if you happen to be looking for something specific that they don't have, Kevin or Jeff or any of the other fine folks at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch will locate that vehicle for you. That's their promise. Ram trucks, Jeeps, Tahoes, Suburbans, Traverses, they have them all on the lot at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Military teachers, college students, healthcare workers, you get an extra $500 bonus when you purchase a vehicle from All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Remember, it's not South Haven, not Mount Moriah, not Bartlett or Collierville. It does have to be the OB, Olive Branch, Mississippi. So come on out to All-Star Chevy today. Or go to allstarautogroup.com. JV's next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to Sports 56 Mornings. Getting you set for the sports weekend. Looks like it'll be a nice weekend weather-wise. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you. It's Friday. That means a fourth component, the fourth Beatle. It's time for John Varlas.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
He is the award-winning prep reporter from the Daily Memphian, but so much more. He is the Prince of Darkness. He is John Varlas. You can follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. He joins us every Friday. Brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, JV.
Yeah, Shoot 360 Memphis. Parents, if you're out there listening, if you have a youngster that's into basketball, regardless of their age, elementary school, junior high school, Travel ball season is here, and this is the time of year you want your kid to get better, particularly with shooting such an important component in the game right now, and Shoot 360 is the place to do that. They've got all the latest technology. They can provide you readouts on exactly what you're doing up wrong and what you need to improve on. The great people out there. They've got a great facility in Collierville on 85 Market Street. And on June 1st, they will be opening what I understand is going to be a really, really nice facility in Cordova. Can't wait to see that myself. So give them a call, 901-316-5500. See what they have to offer. See how they can help your child develop the most important skill in basketball, which is, Greg Gaston,
shooting.
Late.
Good job, John.
The three-pointers, three of those three-pointers will get you paid right
yes,
now.
Yes, sir.
The Lakers and Nuggets last night could have used their help.
Oh, they well, and shoot 360, the technology has been used by professional players. I know Steph Curry, and I think, you know, some other NBA players have used that technology as well. I know Curry has. And it's very useful, and I'm not saying your kid's going to be the next Steph Curry, but I guarantee you they will help your young hooper shoot the basketball better.
But if they do become the next Steph Curry, you're going to be on easy street, parents. So get them out there to shoot 360.
And perhaps I will be on a little bit of easy street for guiding you in that direction as well. So don't forget who told you.
Don't forget Mr. Barless. Well, JV, we always like to open up a segment with you each and every Friday by seeing if you have a bone to pick. Do you have one this week?
Yeah, just one with the service industry, and I think this is one a lot of people can relate to nowadays, and I think this is another one of those things where it was created with the purpose of making life easier for the consumer, but in reality it makes it much harder for the consumer. So when you have, let's say you have a repair in your home, somebody's going to come and fix, let's say, your air conditioner. Mm-hmm. No longer can you get a specific time that they will be in your house. They give you the old window. The window will say, we'll be here from 8 o'clock. We'll be there anywhere from 8 o'clock to noon. Or you know, one of my colleagues at the Daily Memphian, Abigail Warren, who covers Collierville and does such a great job doing that. They gave her a window of like 8 to 4. So basically,
whoa, it's a whole
basically
day.
Like her entire
so
day
we'll be there, is we'll
on
be there tomorrow.
Hold. Right. And then another thing too with the window, like my poor wife had to deal with this the other day. They give you the window from 8 to 12, and they come rolling through there about 11:45. So she's up, she's ready from 8 o'clock, you know. And nothing happened.
Could have got a lot done.
Could have got more sleep, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things where in the old days it seemed like it was a little bit easier to do that kind of thing. And I understand that delays happen, and the job you might have been on previously runs longer than the job you're going to, which is your job. I understand all that happens, but it seems like there should be kind of an easier way to do this. To
within maybe an hour, right?
I think most people would take an hour.
Yeah.
I even think most people would understand if you just gave them a time and then called them at some point and said, hey, we're running a little late. People will understand that too. But I think when you're like sitting there the whole, and you know, you got half or your whole day on hold, I think it's just really hard for people.
See, well, you got to go about your day. I mean, you don't wander too far from, because most places.
Well, but you have to be home.
They will now, once they're on their way, they're going to call you or give you some sort of thing that we're on our way now. So when you get that call, then go home.
Yeah.
Don't set aside the 4 hours. I've learned this lesson. Don't set aside the 4 hours. Just like go about your day. When they call you, then go home.
Right. But you can't fully commit to the day you were planning to have. Like you can't go out and play around at golf.
No.
Or Gray, you can't
right.
go work out. You can't get involved in something that's going to be time consuming because you got to drop and
make
the
house. That's a great point.
The part that really makes me mad about it is when they miss the window. Like they give you the window and they don't even make that window. Like you give me 4 hour stretch and you couldn't figure out the way to really make your day work.
And it's not like you're getting anything in return. They're not going to reduce the price that they're going to charge you. They're still going to charge you the.
Yeah.
Regular price.
Exactly. And to be fair, once they got here, the technician was wonderful. He did a fantastic job. He was clean. He was neat. He was polite and personable and very informative. And he did a wonderful job and no complaints with the service. It's just the window, Jerry. It's the window. We got to do something about the window, Jerry.
I had something.
That's gold, Jerry. Gold.
I had I think it was a refrigerator being delivered to my house, and they gave me the window that they would be delivering it. And so I'm like, okay, And then they called me like a half hour before the window started and said, we're here with the refrigerator. And I'm like, well, I'm not there because
yeah,
you didn't tell me to be there a half hour early. You told me the window. And like, they got mad at me. Like, they're like, well, we can't wait that long. We're going to have to leave and you're not going to be able to get your refrigerator delivered. And I'm like, well, again, let's recap how we tell time here. And if you tell me 10 to noon and you're there at 9:30, why should I be there for you to be there?
Right.
Like, and they were like literally like yelling at me, like, you need to get home. We can only wait like 10 minutes. And I was like, go do your other deliveries and come back to me between 10 and noon when you're supposed to come back to me.
Well, I've never heard that, somebody being actually early for something.
Yeah, I mean,
they're expecting you to be there. You're right.
Eli's totally right. And I mean, it just ties into the bigger thing of communication is not a priority with a lot of people these days. And we can communicate easier than ever, but we communicate worse than ever. And I think that's just a big problem. And part of it is, and a lot of it is communicating times and being where you're saying you're going to be and actually actually doing it.
You've probably done it enough as a company to kind of know how long each job normally would be.
Yeah.
And then guesstimate as far as that is concerned and get as close as you can.
And like I said, I really think 90% of your customers would understand if you say, hey, you know, I know we said 10 o'clock, I'm running late on this other job, it's going to be more like 10:45. I really, truly think most people would understand that and as opposed to just sitting around doing nothing and putting your life on hold for 4 or 6 hours.
I think we're all on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Good, a universal bone.
All right, and feel good? You got that off your chest?
I like where Windows is ridiculous. Anybody that gives me an 8-hour, we're going to narrow this down, buddy. You can't tell me 8 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Brett Norsworthy says in the afternoon, we've got a group lock on the bone. we all agree, a group lock.
There we go. Draft last night, round one. Oh. Of course, there's two more rounds tonight.
It's a good draft, huh?
Four rounds on Saturday. Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I didn't watch. I was following along on like online, just
right.
like Eli. I'm not necessarily interested in the backstories and everybody's and all that.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah,
one
sure.
Second. Are you following along where you're just waiting for the pick to come up on ESPN, or are you on X?
No.
Because the problem with X is, and were they doing it this year? Because I didn't get a chance. Were they giving away the picks early?
I don't go on X during the draft.
Okay. That's been a problem.
No, I wasn't either. I just pulled up a website.
Gotcha.
Like
okay,
CBS,
okay.
Like a draft tracker.
Okay,
and
I
just
hear you.
Refresh it every
Well, you don't have a TV
so.
To watch it on.
Too. Well, there's that as well.
That's true.
No, the funniest thing, though, I wanted to share with you guys because you didn't mention it. The funniest thing in the draft, so they draft Jacksonville, I think, drafts Brian Thomas, the wide receiver out of LSU, right? And they interview mom and dad, and they put, you know, they interview dad, and he seems like a cool guy, and he's kind of overcome, and he's like, oh, you know, this is just awesome. I really don't have words. You know, what a moment. You know, typical stuff. And the lady puts the microphone in front of mom's face, and she said, you know, Mrs. Thomas, I mean, just kind of give us a sense of how far, you know, your family has come to get here. And she says, just as properly and sweetly as she can, we came all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
And Laura Rutledge handled it like a pro. I mean, she's good. That was so funny.
Oh, I laughed so hard. That poor woman. You know, she's trying her best. I've probably never been on TV before. I mean, most people haven't. And you know, maybe she misheard. But now she's going to be kind of replayed.
Oh, she answered that question correctly.
Replayed in infamy on every draft.
I just came from the kitchen. What do you mean? I don't like really went that far.
So, I was in the bathroom a second ago. I just walked over here to talk to you.
And I tell you what, one of my friends who is probably the only Jacksonville Jaguar fan I know was not a fan of the Brian Thomas pick, you know, anecdotally. So I don't know if it was a good pick or not, but he was not pleased.
Well, when people...
and there's not many Jaguars fans out there, so I'll take his word for it.
When people have discussed the wide receivers in this class, and there's a lot of good ones, and especially the first round guys... They said, I guess the question was asked, you know, which guy do you think could be a miss out of all the, you got Harrison, you got Neighbors, they said Thomas.
Yeah.
Thomas could be the miss.
Yeah.
I want to know, you know, it's obviously an emotional time for everybody, for the parents, for the players, but it seems like every player, and all of a sudden now there's a lot of them that are chosen that are from Hawaii. like yeah. big offensive linemen, yeah. quarterbacks. They all cry. Every like these big monster, 6'7", 300-pound dudes are about as emotional as any group of people I've ever seen every single time. I guess it just hits them harder. I mean, there's other players, certainly, that do, but I think I didn't get a chance to watch all of it last night. I usually do. So I didn't see other guys get real emotional. I don't think Caleb Williams cried or anything like that because he knew what was happening. But every time the Hawaiian guy gets picked, and there was two, three of them in that first round, the tears just flow out.
Well, and it's interesting too, and I'll tie that back to, you know, my usual high school stuff. I was honored to be invited to the National Football Hall of Fame Foundation. I think that's the name of it. They have the scholar athlete dinner every year, and I was invited to that on Monday. And one of the players who was honored, John Goodwin from Christian Brothers, he gave a little speech. And in his speech, you know, he was talking about kind of like what football meant to him growing up. And, you know, he said it was like an outlet for like his natural aggression as a young boy and all that. And then he also, you know, kind of dropped in a line in there that where, you know, it kind of helped him get through some tough times as well. You know,
sure.
I think he said when there was tragedy and or things I was dealing with in my life that were, you know, really, really hard, there was always football. And maybe, Greg, you know, that's kind of what ties into sure. it. You know, those emotions.
It just comes out, right?
Flooding in. And, you know, I don't think it's exclusive to
Polynesians,
but.
No, I just said yeah. Yeah, you're right. Samoans, they all yeah, just seem to get yeah. very emotional. At least that's what I saw last night.
And
good for them. And I probably would too.
And those guys are good football players too.
Damn good football players.
That's part of their culture. They're big and fast and really good at football.
And strong.
Yeah, they don't have.
I can eat a lot.
They don't have people in suits. They got. I like their attire at their parties.
There
is
you
good.
Go. The casual.
They got the good stuff. They got the Hawaiian shirts and lays on like that.
That's the way to go.
And for them, it's great because it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they get to that party all night, like because they're over in Hawaii. They're like, this is awesome. We're done at like 4.
It's like an indoor luau. That's what's going on.
Folks, springtime is the time for love, romance, celebration, and the folks at Genesis Diamonds have the jewelry, great presents, things that you need if you've got a special occasion coming up. Maybe it's an anniversary. Maybe it's a graduation. Maybe you're looking for a great gift for Mother's Day or Father's Day. Well, go see the folks at Genesis Diamonds, and they will take good care of you with their massive selection of jewelry. All kinds of jewelry, lines of jewelry that nobody else in town has. Unbelievable pricing, cutting out the middleman, direct importer pricing. They also, of course, have great service. No commission salespeople. They got people just there to help you make the perfect purchase for you to make the special occasion even that much more special. Whether it be an engagement ring, whether it be just a pair of earrings, a necklace, whatever it is, they've got stuff for every budget. They've got the pre-owned Rolex watches as well. Massive selection of those. Check them out at Genesis Diamonds. Poplar and Perkins Extended is where you'll find them. For that special occasion this spring, go see the folks at Genesis Diamonds.
All right, when we come back, more with John, we'll talk some preps, what's going on as we get closer to the spring fling, and we'll get John's thoughts on the Laird Veach news over at the University of Memphis. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. So
welcome back, everyone. John Barlas joining us as he does each and every Friday. All right, you got a texter texting a question for you, John. Then we'll get into some prep talk and talk a little bit about the University of Memphis.
Ron texted in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. And this question, obviously directed towards Mr. Barlas, says, how do you not have a TV to watch sports on? Which is a question I've asked John many, 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 many times.
Thank you for listening, Ron. Appreciate your text. And we stream everything at my house, and I watch everything on my devices. I promise you I don't miss anything I want to see, and I get to lay in bed and be horizontal and comfortable while I'm watching it, too. So that's how I roll. We are a streaming household.
But you can stream on the TV.
I know. I don't.
You just see it a way bigger screen.
I don't need a whole gigantic bigger screen.
Like, you see that thing right there? Like, that's the size of my TV.
I know.
How cool is that?
I look, whenever I go to a hotel, I say, yeah, that's pretty cool. But then by the time I get home, it's like, ah, well, you know. But,
well, at the hotel, you got to figure out how to turn the TV on.
We know that.
By the way,
here's that too.
By the way, your horse and buggy is double parked outside. I think the cops are going to give you a ticket.
We stream everything, Ron, but we're good. We're good.
All right, so prep-wise, we didn't get a chance last week to talk about what's going on. I guess we're on the precipice of the spring fling. What do we got, 2 weeks?
Spring fling will start March 20th.
May.
May 20th. Yeah, May 21st. So yeah,
we're 3 weeks.
We're getting into the playoffs. I know Division Two, the small Division Two baseball is starting up probably next week. St. George's and North Point, the defending state champions, they were co-champions. So I don't know how the seeding works to see who's going to be the top seed. But yeah, playoffs are here. Big recruiting news this week with Rodarius Jackson from Sheffield committing to the University of Tennessee, and I mean, Tennessee is really doing some good work on the in-state prospects. They've got a commitment from George McIntyre, the quarterback from Brentwood Academy. They've got a commitment from Joachim Dotson, the former Memphian who's going to play his senior season at Chattanooga Baylor, and now they've got a commitment from the Class 3A Mr. Football winner from Sheffield. You know, really good athlete. 6'3", by the time he gets to college and gets on a college weight room program, he's going to put on a lot of muscle as well. You know, just terrific athlete with tons and tons of potential. And I know Tennessee's really excited to get him. I know he's excited to get with Tennessee. I mean, by far the biggest commitment that Sheffield football has ever had. So hats off to that program as well. And, you know, they've never sent a player to the Power Five, to my knowledge. So I mean, that's big.
Tennessee has just continued to... It seems like no matter who the coach has been there, like they continue to come in and get top talent out of Memphis, right? They had all the Briarcrest kids that have gone through there.
The Briarcrest kids, the Whitehaven kids, Bryson Eason and French and those guys, French transferred. But yeah, those guys, the Briarcrest guys, they've had lots of guys in the past. And now, Rodarius Jackson and Joachim Dotson are going to follow along. Yeah, so good for them. Congrats to them.
Where did Chris Crawford go to high school?
Chris Crawford from the Tigers?
Yeah.
He went to Sheffield. Yeah, but he didn't play football.
Oh, you said D1. Yeah, I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah,
I said
Power 5.
Oh, he said Power 5. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
I was thinking football. They sent Mark Joseph, who was a Mr. Football runner-up at Sheffield a couple of years ago. He's at Eastern Kentucky and doing really well, too. But, I mean, Eastern Kentucky.
He's the one that had all the interceptions, right?
Yeah, and Eastern Kentucky and Tennessee is, two different things when you're talking football.
So, right, right.
Good luck to Rodarius. I really hope he does well there. And, I know they're excited out there in Parkway Village.
Have you heard any more about the Creighton kid from, I know there's a bunch. First of all, well, Jonathan Lawson, is he officially in the portal?
I think he is in the portal, right?
And what was the other young man's name?
Brock Weiss. He's North Texas.
It's North Texas. Yeah, that's where he's going.
He committed to North Texas. So, so hopefully North Texas, they're in the AAC, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I'm a little fuzzy. It's early. So, yeah, we might get to see Brock in FedEx Forum next year. So that would be pretty cool, I guess.
Also, there was news about a coaching firing. Sean Taggart, the former Memphis Tiger, let go at Collierville.
Yeah, and I really like Coach Taggart.
Me too.
I don't know what the future holds for him. I think he did a good job at Collierville. I really do. When I was telling... was telling somebody this the other day, a couple of years ago in 2023 when Overton, won the state championship, they played Collierville in, I believe, a regional tournament game. I believe it was an elimination game, and that game was at Collierville. And, man, Collierville gave them everything, they could handle. And, Overton really, did well to escape that one, and they, consequently went on to win the state championship. So, just shows you how close they were and the potential of that program. I mean, Greg, you're talking about a school with the biggest enrollment, I believe, in the state of Tennessee. They got A-plus facilities, all the community support you can imagine. I mean, that program is really a kind of a sleeping giant. I mean, and hopefully they can get the right person and take them to where they want to be. And, it's unfortunate that Coach Taggart wasn't that person, because I think he's a good dude. And I really think he loved his kids. I know he did. I know he loved his kids. And I know he poured a lot of heart and soul into that job. And, it just didn't click for whatever reason.
And didn't Was it FACS that just hired their new coach?
Yeah, yeah, that's Coach Rose from Overton. Shelby Rose, he is it's interesting. So they lost a two-time state champion. D. Wilkes has gone to St. George's, mm-hmm. but they replaced him with the 2023 state champion from Overton, Shelby Rose. And I interviewed Coach Rose yesterday, and we posted a story on our website that you guys can read now. You know, it's gonna be a real interesting situation because – all the starters off of that team, Eli, are scheduled to come back now with you know, high school basketball.
High school transfer portal.
I mean, it's a thing with high school basketball being the way it is, with a new coach coming in, with parents, you know, maybe being a little uncertain and a little unfamiliar with the new coach and how he runs things and all that.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting to see where all those kids end up. If he can keep that group intact, or even most of it, there's absolutely no reason FACS can't be competitive next year as well, because he's a really good coach. You know, he's got lots of ties, lots of connections, and I think he'll have a really, really good tenure at FACS, and I'm happy to see him get the job. And I know they were happy to get him too. That's a hard job to fill. Not only do you need a good basketball man, but you need, you know, there's the religious component in there too. They need a man of faith and high character and all that stuff. Not saying that the other applicants work, but you know what I mean.
Exactly. Looking forward to the junior high portal when that opens up. All right, final thing for you. Obviously, Memphis, University of Memphis, and their athletic department has been in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks. A lot of good news. Unfortunately, they lose Laird Veach to Missouri. It makes all the sense in the world for him to take that job. But now whoever is replacing Laird, big shoes to fill, have to continue to move forward with this progress that the university has made. Your thoughts on that news?
It's a very important hiring, Greg, because it's a critical time for the university. You know, they're putting a lot of good things in place with the NIL structure and the commitment from FedEx and all that stuff. You know, the stadium project moving forward, but then there's the big elephant in the room: is they're not in a major conference and they want to be. And you know, can this new AD, you know, help them get where they want to be? I mean, that's why it's so important, because, you know, with college football changing and evolving like it is, and, you know, I mean, when, you know, talk of like super conferences and things like that, and the haves are having more and the have-nots are starting to have less, I mean, you really want to be on that last helicopter when it leaves, you know. You really do. And the next AD really needs to make sure they're on that helicopter. You know, our friend Lawrence Dockery put out a modest proposal. You know, why don't they contact Tom Jurich, the former Louisville athletic director? You know, I know there was some controversy with the end of his tenure, some scandal. But, you know, the flip side of the coin is he has done everything that the University of Memphis wants to do. He's had, you know, the soccer team at Louisville won a national championship. Baseball was in the NCAA tournament. Women's basketball was in the NCAA tournament. Men's basketball. Football was in, you know, New Year's Day bowl games. You know, they major renovation and major progress with their stadiums. You know, he's done everything that Memphis wants to do. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think it's kind of a cool idea. Again, I'm not all in the weeds with what exactly went down at the end of his Louisville tenure. But, you know, it might be something to consider. You know, years ago, there was a coach at the University of Memphis that didn't have a University of Massachusetts that didn't have a squeaky clean reputation, named John Calipari, and they took a chance on him, and that worked out pretty good.
Have you heard whether or not the university is going to hire a search firm?
I would.
Usually they do.
I haven't heard specifically, but I would bet they would. Okay. I don't, you know, they'll hire the search firm, and whether the search firm actually makes the decision or not, who knows? But
no, they would hire the search firm.
Yeah. To identify. Yeah. You know, if it doesn't work out, they say, well, we blame the search firm.
What is it called? What's the term?
Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. Thank you.
If you were making the hire, would you go with somebody that has ties to the University of Memphis, or would you want somebody that doesn't have ties to kind of a fresh
somebody
perspective
from the outside?
I think Eli, the person I would go for would be somebody that has some success with big time football.
Yep.
I think that would be my first priority right now. I think that's kind of what's driving the expansion boat. I think that's what always has driven the expansion boat, and I think that's maybe what's, you know, kept Memphis, you know, held back a little bit is not maybe focusing as much on the football
side. I was asked this yesterday.
I would go for a football guy. I really, really would.
I was asked this by Brett and Bryant yesterday. I come on their shows on show on Thursday.
You do it, and you do a wonderful job, too.
Thank you.
I'm a loyal listener to that segment.
I appreciate that, but I said the same thing. I mean, I think if you don't get a person with football background, you're missing the boat. And sure, that person could hire somebody else who has the – no, you have to hire somebody that has that background. That's pivotal. We know it's pivotal. If it's somebody has no experience at running a football department or being a part of a school that has a football, that makes no sense.
What are you saying having a football background? So just so does anybody that's at a Power 5 school count?
Yes.
I would think so. I mean, I would prefer to have somebody with some degree of success.
Yeah, and there's other things that go in.
But I'm saying, like, so, but like, they, if they're the deputy AD at a Power 5 football with a good football program, that counts as a good.
Like, for example, I wouldn't hire the Gonzaga AD.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I think we're saying, right?
Right. Now, Gonzaga, St. John's, Villanova—you know, those are great schools. But yeah,
well, Villanova's got one double A, but
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody, just Kansas or West. I'm just throwing out schools.
Right.
Somebody with some proven football acumen.
I think that's just so
important right now.
All right, brother. Great job.
Hey, thank you guys as always, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next Friday.
Well, keep those windows open. This hour of our program,
the big green egg.
I was just wondering, like, so I don't know what the person had to come to your house. I figured when they come to look at your wood burning furnace,
they came.
Were you waiting for your delivery of firewood, or was it the doctor making the house call? On his horseback.
Yeah, I actually, they came to shoe our horses.
I hate when that guy doesn't get there on time. You think that would be able to narrow that window down, and like he can't have that many jobs to go. Like, but you got to be number one on his list.
That guy's always late, and you know we got the horses tied up, and they get all antsy and everything. It's awful.
The cobbler. We're waiting on the cobbler. He gave us a 4-hour window, and he won't show up. I don't know what the deal is.
Actually, it was the guy that's going to bring over the leeches so he can bleed us.
Oh, man. This hour of the program is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Do you grill?
No.
Goodness gracious. What the heck? Well, that would be one thing you would do.
If I cook it
over an open flame.
If I did, I would use a Big Green Egg because they sound like a really great product.
People like John could use the Big Green Egg to heat their house since they don't like anything electric. Big Green Egg is the best grill there is. It's the last grill you'll ever need to buy. Beautiful weekend coming up. Beautiful time to be out there on the grill. Grilling out while watching the NFL draft, watching UFL like the Showboats on Sunday, whatever it is you're doing. Check out the Big Green Egg at Ace Hardware locations around town, Hamilton Fireplace. Of course, you can go to biggreenegg.com, get all the details about all the different eggs, all the accessories, everything you need to know about the best grill there is, and that is the Big Green Egg.
Hour two on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.